Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I am Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Come visit the site, SteelNationAssociation.com. Join our club, get your t-shirt, read our articles, listen to our podcasts, and learn so much more about the Steelers. And as always, you can get my work on SteelCityUnderground.com as well, where there are many, many talented columnists with a lot of different podcast articles and a significant amount of insight into the Steelers all day, every day. So please visit either site and download our podcast, read our articles, and check out our stores. So, week one is in the books, and it wasn't a loss, but it sure did feel like one. As we all know by now, the Steelers went into Cleveland and they tied 21-21 after having a 21-7 fourth quarter lead. It is well documented that it was a huge disappointment for the team, for the fans, for the coaches, for everyone involved, maybe with the exception of the Browns, who snapped a 17-game losing streak by not winning. So I'm going to cover that a little bit. I think despite what the players and coaches want to say, I think that the offense looked a little bit flat because of the fact that there was a lack of preseason play. And I'm not a huge fan of the preseason, and I will admit that first and foremost. I don't like it, but I do think it is a necessary evil to get some rust off. And yes, I went to camp multiple days and talked to the players, and you know, they felt great and they were feeling good that their bodies weren't getting beat up and everything that goes along with it between camp and preseason. But at the same time, you need a little bit of those nicks here and there. You certainly need the repetitions. And even Ben Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown can be a little bit rusty. And I think we saw that on that one pick where Brown and Roethlisberger were not on the same page, and Roethlisberger threw it to a completely different part of the field than Brown went to. They still got their catches. They still had a touchdown between the two of them, but Roethlisberger was certainly off with three picks. One of those fumbles out of the two looked like it might be ruled an interception at one point. He had five turnovers total, quite possibly the worst game he's ever played, maybe with the exception of that Jacksonville regular season game last year, which I was at, unfortunately. So I do think that was part of the reason for the, you know, failure, if you will, on offense. Because James Conner sure as hell looked good, and he had a lot of reps, or at least a good amount of reps, I guess 19 or so in the preseason. But he put on a show, and he made us all forget about Le'Veon Bell for a week, and I think he's going to do that again this week. As far as I'm concerned, this running game is now James Conner's today, tomorrow, and in the future. Yes, Le'Veon Bell has a ton of value. And if and when he comes back, he's got a role on this team for the remainder of this season. But if James Conner is going to run as he did this past week in Cleveland, which again, I'm very open about saying it's only been one regular season game, anything can happen. But if Conner's going to run like this consistently, if and when Bell comes back, to me, Bell is his backup. You can use him, but Bell is his backup until Conner proves otherwise. I just don't think that you put Bell in there. There's no reason to. Conner did just about everything Bell does. Yes, he did fumble, a critical fumble that allowed the Browns to cut it to 21-14 since they got the ball on the Steelers' one-yard line. But he had 192 total yards, 130-plus on the ground with another, you know, 60 or so in the air. I mean, that's Le'Veon Bell stuff. It is. But to go back to the kind of putrid offense that we saw this past week, you know, I mentioned the lack of preseason play for sure. I really do believe that was part of it. The weather conditions, in my opinion, were certainly part of that as well. I mean, both teams had to deal with it, but I do think when you combine the lack of playing in the preseason with the factors that the weather was producing, you know, you get that lack of offense there that we saw. I, again, don't think that that will happen again for the remainder of the season, which is an article I wrote earlier this week. As I just don't think you're going to see another dud like that. The good news is the Steelers played about as bad of a game as you could play, specifically on offense, and they didn't lose. Now, they didn't win, but they didn't lose. Chris Boswell missed a game-winning 42-yard field goal. How often does that happen? It never. Specifically last year. The guy's usually money. So that happened. I think, you know, the weather was probably part of that too. I don't know. It was just a freaky day. Joe Hayden gets hurt. You know, it was just a lot of different things. And by the way, for a side note here for a second, Joe Hayden got hurt playing special teams. Why is Joe Hayden playing special teams? In my opinion, he is your number one cornerback. You do not play your number one guy of any position on special teams unless his number one position is special teams, like Matakevich, for example. I don't like that. I specifically don't like that he got hurt on special teams when he, in my opinion, is your number one receiver, better than Artie Burns. And real quick on Artie Burns as we're, you know, going down this list. What are you doing, Burns? Now, you've had a few years under your belt here. You don't get into a scuffle on the field, and then you don't top it off by taking your helmet off, moron. I'm so sick and tired of these guys making these stupid, stupid penalties year in and year out, game in and game out, and not suffering any consequences. And that is on Tomlin. No, he's not on the field. No, he's not in control of their emotions. But they act that way because they know there's no discipline coming, or not enough. He should have been benched, period. Yeah, he's their second best cornerback, but if you want to send a message, you bench him. You bench him. And that was before Hayden was hurt, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But either way, that cannot happen. There needs to be some sort of punishment. I don't know if there could be fines levied, but I mean, how much would it be before they feel that impact? I mean, something has to happen. I'm so sick of that. So I'm going to put in a couple things. I wrote about the keys to the game last week, and I want to go through these because it's kind of amazing how some of this stuff rang true and some of the reason why I was going to say lost because it feels like one, but tied. So I wrote the number one key to the game was not making the costly mistakes. Turnovers, dumb penalties, clock management. They had some dumb penalties. They certainly had some turnovers. And they certainly had some turnovers. Clock management, I think, goes okay. I said the defense needs to contain Tyrod Taylor in the pocket. If he gets outside of the pocket, he can and will make plays with his legs. He had 77 yards and a score. He made plays. They didn't contain him. Now, he didn't have a great game, and the defense did really well, and we'll get to TJ Watt, but they didn't contain him the way they needed to. I said the offense needs to pick up James Conner. He's completely capable of gaining 100 yards. He more than did that, so that was a very big key for them. And I said they need to protect Big Ben from Myles Garrett. Well, Garrett did wreak some havoc and caused a couple of turnovers, didn't he? So those were the keys. I said to keep an eye on Conner and how he plays. Keep an eye on TJ Watt. I predicted 3 sacks. What did he do? 4 sacks. He's going to have a great, great year. And he started it this past week. I said 3. He had 4. I think the guy is going to have about 15 sacks this year. Now, I was predicting 10 to 11. I mean, he's already 4 into one game in. So he got to bump that up to about 15. But it's his time. And moving to the other side was a big help. I think it helped Dupree too. He looked pretty good this past week as well. I'm not ready to jump onto his bandwagon just yet because we have several years of stats that say that what he did this past week is not going to be sustainable. But he did look pretty good. Tomlin said he played just as well as TJ Watt. I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with that, but we will take that play. I thought Bostic looked really well. Looked really good. The secondary looked pretty good overall. The front 3 looked great. I mean, they put up 7 sacks overall as a team. Obviously, Watt had 4 of those. The defense, there's just nothing you can say really bad about them. You know, they let Taylor get out there for 77 yards, but overall, really, they did more than their job. And you cannot fault them for that second touchdown when they gave up literally 1 yard to get the score. I mean, Cleveland had first and goal on the 1 on their very first play because of the counter turnover. So I don't blame the defense for this loss/tie. I certainly blame the offense, and to a much, much lesser degree, Boswell for missing a kick that he usually makes. But given the fact that he's won so many games for the Steelers, you have to give him a pass. You have to. And you move on. And that's what they're doing. So they're moving on to Kansas City, the home opener this coming week. It's a game I do think they're going to win. I actually think the offense is going to put up a lot of numbers this week. I expect Connor again to go over 100 yards. I expect Big Ben to have a big day. Antonio Brown's going to be there. If he's covered or even if he's not, you know Juju Smith-Schuster will be in play. I look for Washington to get a little bit more action. He didn't have any action against the Browns outside of some special teams. And in my opinion, he's the third best receiver already. I know Hunter was playing that role this past week, but I'd like to see a little bit more of Washington. I see or hear, I should say, that Ben's got a little bit of an elbow thing going on. That's not going to be a problem. We'll need to keep an eye on Hayden throughout the week. It sounds like the hamstring's not too bad, but I think we need to keep an eye on that. And then DeCastro, of course, with the broken hand, says he's playing. And you can't expect anything other than that from that guy. He is tough as nails. He's going to be out there, and he's going to be protecting Big Ben like he does all the time. But the offense, I do expect quite a turnaround. I actually think they're going to go over 30 points this week. The Chiefs have a pretty susceptible defense, I think, to both the pass and the run. And I think the offense is too upset, you know, coming off of last week's mess, to fail like that again. I just don't see it. So I do expect about 31 points. I think the defense will stay aggressive. I think that they will continue to blitz. Now, Mahomes is pretty good. Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. You know, it's his first year as a starter for the Chiefs. He was 15 of 27 for 250 or so yards last week against the Chargers, but he led them into Los Angeles and got a win in a game I did not expect the Chiefs to win. So I think he's a very solid quarterback, and I think the Steelers will have to make sure that the secondary is up and ready to play against him, because I think he's a pretty solid quarterback. I actually think he's better than Tyrod Taylor in the passing game, so they are going to have to be ready for that, and I think that the front seven, specifically, I know Watt and Dupree, are going to need to get to Mahomes to, you know, put some pressure on him to get rid of the ball quickly, and I think that's exactly what they'll do. Tyreek Hill scares me a little bit. I don't know exactly who's going to cover him. He is fast. He is fast, and he had 160-plus receiving yards last week. He's dangerous. He is dangerous, and that is the number one guy this team is going to have to stop on Sunday, and I think it's going to take several players to do it. And, you know, Kareem Hunt in the backfield is also a dangerous back that they're going to have to stuff behind the line and get to. So I think the Steelers, you know, they're going to have a game plan of running the ball, you know, 30 to 35 times. It's not to say Ben's not going to get his yards and not going to throw. He is. But I think they'd like to keep Ben around 25 to 28 pass attempts. It just is a little bit better mix for this team. And that's what I expect. And I think if they do that, you know, you are going to see those 31 points. I really like Switzer back there. You know, returning kicks and punts. I mean, he's impactful. You can see why they traded for him now if you didn't know before. I think he's going to have potential on the offense in some sort of, you know, trick play type of thing. You know, they had him out there for a couple of plays against Cleveland. I think as he gets to learn the offense a little bit more, we'll see a little bit more of him as well. You know, Jesse James, I think, can certainly be Ben's safety net until McDonald gets back. We'll see what's going on with McDonald. But I like James. I know that he dropped a pass and it turned into an interception. I like James. You know, that Patriot game last year, Jesse caught it. This Cleveland game, he didn't very clearly. But I trust him. I like him. And I think that, you know, he has a role in this offense as well. And I think he will have a big role this week. You know, they need to get past the tie. They need to get past the questions around the tie or a loss, as they're all deeming it and as the media and I and everyone are kind of looking at it. They need to move forward. They need to get away from this Le'Veon Bell stuff. Now he's, you know, out partying at Miami clubs late into the night, into the morning, whatever you want to call it. you know what? Whatever. Whatever. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Le'Veon Bell is not part of this team right now. He's not part of this team, and they should not even answer questions about him. He's not under contract. He's not on the roster. As far as I'm concerned, he's not on the team. And as you probably saw, he was not listed on the depth chart for this week. Message, no message, I don't know. I don't need to dissect that. The only thing that I do know is that means he's not part of this team right now. So they don't need to answer any more questions about it. And it would be best if the media folk would stop asking them questions about it and just get more into the team itself. But we all know that that's not going to happen. Drama loves to follow this team, and the media certainly loves to stir that drama up just as easily as the Steelers create it. So that probably will continue to happen. As far as this team is concerned for this week, though, I do think a 31-20 victory. I think the defense will give up about 20. I think that the ball control is going to improve. You're not going to see that kind of lackluster play from Big Ben. James Conner is going to put up 110 to 120 yards on the ground and another 30 or 40 in the air. Antonio Brown, again, another 8 to 10 catches. I think he goes over 100 yards this week. He's going to score a touchdown, as he always does. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be a huge part of this offense as well. And look for Washington to become more of a part of this offense this week as well. Defensively, I think T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree are going to be big keys to this game. Stopping Tyreek Hill is a massive undertaking that they're going to have a joint effort. But keep your eye on Sean Davis in that secondary. He looked good for maybe the first time in his entire career, in my opinion. It was, in fact, his best statistically measured game in his career. So maybe the switch has helped him. Again, a lot of this is based on one game, and we can't really make much of that. So we will wait and see until after next week when we can start to getting a little bit more data to make our true assessments. Until then, let's just hope that they get their nicks and bruises healed up, that they put this Cleveland game behind them, that they ignore any Le'Veon Bell questions, they prepare for Kansas City, and when we talk next week, it's after a Steelers victory.